on Shanti. 16th of February 2019, Saturday. Today's blessing. May you be a double light. May you be double light and remain detached and loving like a lotus by handing over everything to the Father. May you be double light and remain detached and loving like a lotus by handing over everything to the Father. To belong to the Father means to give all your burdens to the Father. To be double light means to hand over everything to the Father. Even this body is not mine. Since even the body doesn't belong to you, what else remains? All of you have made a promise. This body is yours. This mind is yours. And all the wealth is yours. Since everything belongs to the Father, how can there be any burden? Therefore, keep the example of lotus in your awareness and remain constantly loving and detached. And you will become double light. So Baba is telling to become double light. And what is the way to become double light? Two ways. First, surrender. And second, lotus. To belong to the Father means give all the burden to the Father. To be double light means hand over everything to the Father. Even this body is not mine. Since even that body doesn't belong to you, what else remains? All of you have made a promise. This body is yours. In surrender, one is body, second is mind, and third is wealth. All of you have made a promise. This body is yours, this mind is yours, and this wealth is yours. Since everything belongs to the Father, how can there be any burden? Therefore, keep the example of lotus in your awareness and remain constantly loving and detached, and you will become double light. So Baba doesn't want any one of us to carry any burden. And we should remain as much light as possible. And there are two ways to remain light. The first is total surrender. And there are three types of surrender Baba is talking about. The first is surrender of the body. What does that mean? When I say that I surrender my body, what does that mean? What are the implications of surrendering the body? What are the implications of surrendering the mind? And what are the implications of surrendering the wealth? Surrender is a very higher word. In the Western world, surrender means defeat. Surrender means defeat. Japan surrendered. In the war, one group surrenders, one country surrenders. But in spirituality, surrender doesn't mean defeat. Spirituality, sudden surrender means we are handing over ourselves in somebody else's hand. It's not defeat, but rather it is the victory. It's not defeat, but rather it is the highest stage of consciousness. So, there are three types of surrender Baba is talking today. And Baba often talks tan, man, dhan, body, mind and wealth. So the first surrender is the surrender of the body. What does that mean? Body consciousness, okay. Use the body for service and I do take care of it, though the body belongs to the Father, but I take care of it. These are all the things we have often churned and we have often heard in Murli. Give up the consciousness of the body, give up body consciousness. But there are a few other implications when I say I surrender this body. Purity is also there, but when I say I surrender this body means I surrender karmic accounts of this body also. When I say that I surrender this body, I mean also that whatever the karmic accounts body has got, diseases, illnesses, disabilities, malformations, abnormalities, sicknesses, maladies, discomforts, pain, suffering, everything that belongs to the body. When I say that I surrender the body, I also mean that I surrender karma bhog, karmic account, I surrender suffering of the body. Because this is one thing that we keep on holding. When body suffers, the soul also suffers. But the highest stage of surrender is that even the karmic accounts of the body are not mine, but even this karmic accounts I am surrendering. This is a very subtle thing. Surrender itself is a very subtle thing. It has nothing to do with outside ceremonies. Surrender has nothing to do with any particular dress. Surrender has nothing to do with any batch. Surrender has nothing to do with any ceremony. Surrender has nothing to do with any place. Surrender is the internal stage. Surrender is an intrinsic stage of belongingness, of handing over everything to the One Father. So, when you say that I surrender body, it means that I surrender karmic accounts of the body also. When I say that I surrender body, I also mean that I surrender different religions of the body. Now there are two types of religion. When I say dharma, one is Hindu, Christian and all those things. Other religions of the body are? Of the body. Hunger, thirst. These are also religions of the body. Sleep. These are the religions of the body. So when I say that I surrender body, I also mean that I surrender different religions of the body. That doesn't just mean the outside labels or the family religion where we are born in. It also means that I surrender all these things. These are the highest level of surrender. If he wants to feed, he will feed. Thirst and sleep. To give up all of these for the godly sake, that is also height of surrender. So, karmic accounts, religions of the body, relationships of the body. I surrender even the relationships of the body. And when I say I surrender relationships of the body, the bodily bonds also I surrender. That means again two things. One, bonds, brother, sister, mother, father and all those things. But there are subtle bonds of the body which soul has formed, which were not there before. But the new bonds of the soul, new bonds of the body, that includes bodily attraction, that includes vices, and that includes lust, where the body pulls the body, where the body is attracted to body, where the body is willing and so curious and so yearning to merge in body. This greatest vice I surrender. So when I say that I surrender religions of the body, I means that whatever religions are there earlier, relations are there, I surrender those relations. At the same time, if at all new relations are formed based on body, I surrender even them. So soul remains absolutely free. Soul is not pulled, body is not pulled towards any person of this world. And when I say surrender of the body, I also mean desires of the body, pleasures of the body, sense gratification. Because soul and body, they are so intertwined, so much bound. If one suffers, other suffers. My greatest effort is to detach soul and body. So everything that belongs to the body doesn't belong to me anymore. I have surrendered it. So when I say that surrender of the body, I mean surrendering karmic accounts, I mean surrendering relationships of the body, I mean surrendering religion of the body, I mean surrendering desires of the body. Everything that belongs to the body, the greatest act of surrender is this body. And then there are other things. I utilize this body only and only for service. I utilize this body only and only for tapasya. I utilize this body only and only for doing something good to the world. Random acts of goodness. The other day we were talking. So that is the highest act of surrender. Just as a disciple surrenders unto his guru, in the similar manner we have surrendered this body for the great cause. Just as a warrior surrenders his body, just as a freedom fighter surrenders his body, just as a soldier is martyred, in the similar manner we have surrendered this body. So body doesn't remain, belong to me anymore. It should be utilized only and only for service till the last breath. That is the first surrender. Second is the surrender of the mind. What does it mean? The worst thing in mind is thoughts. It's very, very subtle. To surrender thoughts. Because continuously thoughts are getting created and produced. And to surrender the thoughts, mind should be so much pure, then only the surrender is possible. Otherwise, impure mind with unruly thoughts, with vicious thoughts, cannot have surrender at all. Second, emotions. Mind has got emotions. The worldly emotions, material emotions, I surrender even everything which all whatever emotions that are rising. And when I say surrender of the mind, I also mean imagination, fantasy, fancies. Even the imagination is surrendered. And when I say surrender of the mind, I also mean memories. So many memories. This, each one of it is a very subtle thing. Thought level, emotional level, imagination level, and memory level. All of this I surrender. And when I surrender everything, then nothing belongs to me. Even the thoughts, even the emotions, even the feelings, even the imaginations, and even the memories. Everything is his. Everything should be for him. One is everything is his. Another is everything should be for him, all thoughts for him. Rather, this is the way to come to the first. All our thoughts should be devoted to this knowledge. In today's Sakar Murli, multiple places Baba said, try to understand this knowledge. Multiple places Baba said, do churning, deep churning of this knowledge. Only those who do churning can explain this knowledge to others. explain to everyone, go to jail, prisons, go to prostitutes, go to deaf, dumb, mute, everyone. Explain this knowledge to everyone. So, the more we try to understand this knowledge, the more we can explain this to others. So, how much thoughts should be devoted to this knowledge? What are our thoughts doing throughout the day? Are we churning knowledge? Instinct is something else. Instinct has much more to do with sanskars. That will be another level. Because in the faculty of mind, we talk of three things: mind, intellect and sanskar. So ultimate surrender is different. Today's blessing Baba is talking only of these three surrender. Otherwise there are 7 to 8 types of surrender. We'll come to that. So instinct has more to do with sanskar. So all thoughts should be devoted to him. Means all short thoughts should be devoted to this study. This is spiritual study. The more wealth you have, the more you become happy. That's what Baba said in today's Sakar Murli. So, devote more and more thoughts to the journey of this knowledge. Devote all your emotions to this knowledge. Let spiritual emotions rise in our heart. Spiritual emotions. We have worldly emotions where we keep on crying and where we have regrets. Today Baba said, you should not have regrets. This is a drama. This is accurate. No addition will be done. This is perfect. This is fixed. This cannot be reduced. This cannot be stopped. This is an eternal drama which is going on. So you cannot have regrets. So when you churn knowledge, when you get emotionally involved with knowledge, emotional involvement. For example, two students are there. Both are studying for the exam. The first student is devoted only because his aim is only to pass the exam. But the second student is emotionally involved in it. For him, exam is a goal, but not just that. He is interested in it. He is neck deep into that study. He is so much interested that he is only thinking about that knowledge all the time. So that is emotional involvement. We listen Murli, we listen knowledge, we write points, but that can be without emotional involvement. Emotional involvement means you are thinking about it constantly. Even in your dreams, you see that. We remember during our MBBS, those students who used to study too much, they used to tell early in the morning that we saw this drug at in our dream. We saw malaria and its treatment in dream. They used to see whatever they used to read, they would see in their dreams. So that was that level of emotional involvement. So when you get emotionally involved in knowledge, that time the real knowledge starts. Where you don't have to make attempts to repeat, to remember things, automatically you remember. Because you are emotionally involved. So to be emotionally involved is also an act of surrender. Because when our emotions are for this knowledge, when our emotions are for Baba, then those emotions automatically dedicated to him. So that's an act of surrender. In the similar manner, imaginations. Many human beings spend their time, waste their time in wasteful imagination. Just imagine a person is sitting and is imagining something wasteful. Half of the time is gone in daydreaming. Our imagination should become visualization. What visualization? Spiritual visualizations. Visualize your home. Visualize the kingdom which is to come. Visualize everything. Creative visualization is very important. So such creative visualization leads to act of surrender. And then memories. What memories we are entertaining? What memories we are harboring? Every person is sitting and remembering something of the past. If you want to remember something of the past, remember the distant past, not the latest past, not the past of this birth. Remember the distant past. Go back. And the greatest past is when you were in the golden, not golden age. in supreme abode. Remember something which what you were doing in golden age. Remember when you were in the copper age. In copper age also, three forms we have. What are they? First is, what we should remember when I spin the circle, discus of self-realization, Sudarshan Chakra. In copper age we have three forms to remember. What are they? First is deity form, that I am the one worthy of worship. People are worshipping me in temples. One. Second, I am the highest of the high devotee. Unadulterated devotion. I am in search of God. Madly in search of God. I am the one who has searched him for such long and now I got him. And what is the third form? This is tricky. Third Dwapar form. And that is okay. I am Bhakta. Already I said. In devotion it has come. I am a great devotee. In copper age. That is second. What is the third part which we should remember in copper age? I was that. No, that is everything. Why? No, not positive points. We don't want those mistakes. Mistake part, bhul chuk. Today Murli Baba also said that we are not talking about. No, I am not an angel in copper age. Yes, I am self-sovereign king. Recently in this Avyakta Murli of last Sunday, Baba had given example of king. There are kings who are Bahadur and there are kings who are weak. Those who are strong kings, they control their subjects. So I am that king of copper age, controlling entire subjects. A very strong king. A self-sovereign king. A king who is an emperor rather. So there we have got three forms in copper age. One, deity, who is being worshipped in the temples, worthy of worship form. Second form, a great devotee, a Vyabhichari Bhakt, unadulterated, who is loyal, who is devoted, who is faithful, who is strong devotee, a staunch devotee, and in search of God. And now I got him. And third, I am a king, a very strong king, a very powerful king. Remember these forms of copper age. So if you want to do, if you want to revel in memories, revel in these memories rather than memories of this birth, which are full of trauma or unhappiness or some pain or some misery. So this are the act of surrender of mind. The third is wealth. What does it mean? Surrender wealth means what? Use the wealth for Baba's service. So, Baba's service. Then, surrendering wealth means what? Nothing belongs to me. Nothing is mine. All this wealth is Baba's. Then, ask permissions, Baba's permission to use this wealth. Baba, this wealth is yours. In many centers, we have seen some of the sisters, what they do, if they bring vegetables, they keep in front of Baba's translate. Baba, this is your vegetable. Now give to us. If they earn money, they give the salary and put it in front of Baba's translate and then they take. So nothing is mine, everything is his. All wealth is his. So that's an act of surrender. Surrendering wealth means to be a trustee, just like a bank person who is counting notes all the time, but he knows that it doesn't belong to me. In the similar manner, whatever money I have, it doesn't belong to me. There are two surrenders together. This body I am using to earn wealth, and the wealth would be utilized for your service. So both things. What else? That's a very subtle wealth. We are talking of gross wealth at present. That is also wealth. Definitely that is wealth. That should be given to everybody. Yesterday one brother was sharing an experience that in the train he was traveling. The other Brahmin soul came and he said, why don't you give knowledge to the people who are sitting in the train? So he said, my knowledge are seeds. I don't want to throw at stones. These are all stones. These are all floor. I don't want to waste my knowledge. If they are interested, they will come to me. So that is also wealth, but that is a subtle wealth. The real wealth, we are talking of gross wealth. So wealth, and what is the best, what is the purpose of earning wealth? What is the best explanation for becoming wealthy in Brahmin life? You need money to understand how money is useless. That is the best way you should earn money, because to understand that this money, how useless it is and how it drives the whole humanity mad. A beggar cannot say that, I don't want to go to five-star hotel. If beggar says, will you believe him? Beggar says, I don't like to eat in five-star hotel. You will not believe. Who can say this? A Buddha can say that I don't want wealth, because he has given up the kingdom, because he had it. A beggar cannot say that I don't want kingdom. Who will believe? So in the similar manner, wealth is good, but it gives you more understanding how useless it is. The real wealth is knowledge. The real wealth is happiness. The real wealth is spiritual. The real treasures are invisible, not these gross. So, these are the types of surrender. Baba talked about, there are other types of surrender. One, intellect. To surrender intellect, to surrender sanskar. These are also surrender. To surrender action, to surrender effects, result of actions. This is also surrender. To surrender time, tan, man, dhan, sankalp, thought, samay. These are all the different other types of surrender. Dreams are bhavre. That is very subtle. How do you surrender? Dreams are not under your control. But then yes, when you spend your day in very elevated thoughts, automatically you get very, very pure dreams. And that is the sign of our purity. If your dreams are getting purified, it means purity level is increasing. Our graph of purity should increase like that every day. What purity I had yesterday, my today's purity should increase. The thoughts should become all the more pure. The imagination should become all the more pure. My body conscious vision should start going down and down. And my soul conscious vision should arise. I am not attracted towards any body of this world. Nothing of this world. No nudity of this world can ever attract me, because I have realized these bodies are tamopradhan. These bodies are dirty, and I have understood these bodies are leftover things. So nothing of this world, nothing of this body attracts me. And the level of purity and the graph of purity is going up and up and up and up and up like that. So when such a thing happens, the result is what is the barometer? The barometer is dreams. Dreams would get purified, crystallized. All the contamination of dreams even would go away. So these are the different things about surrender. You talked about sanskar. That is the most subtlest of all the sanskar, surrender. It's very difficult. But yet it is possible, because sanskars are not under our control. Because they work automatically. That's why sanskar transformation is the goal of this life. But it is a very, very slow process. But yes, it is possible. And Baba has said it can be done. It will be done. And it should be done. And this is the only time where you can do that. No other time this can be done. Because sanskars are cumulative result of habits. So you need to create new sanskars in order to beat old sanskars. So creation of new sanskars itself is an act of surrender. That is the act of surrender. Okay. Om Shanti. Yeah. Not every, because all devotees are not, there are only few pure devotees. Not everybody must have sacrificed. There were, you know, from in Bhagavad Gita, it is four types of devotees are described. First devotee who goes to God every day and asks all the worldly things. Give me wife. Give me wealth, give me this, give me that. That is the first type of devotee. Second type of devotee is the one who goes only in the time of danger. Otherwise it doesn't go. He has no time. But yes, when he is in trouble, he goes to, oh God, you are my everything. That is second type of devotee. Third type of devotees are Jigyasu Bhakta. They are inquisitive. They want to know things. What is Vedanta? What are Vedas? What are Upanishads? What is religion? What is truth? They are curious to know everything. What is God? What is this phenomenon called God? That is the third type of devotee. And fourth type of devotee are Jnani Bhakta. They don't want anything. They want except God. They don't want anything. And these are the highest type of devotees. So at different births, we were different people. Not all time we were those things. Sometimes we were very selfish. And sometimes there is one more term which is known as agnostics. Agnostic means who have nothing to do with God. Whether God exists or doesn't exist. One is atheist, theist, believers, non-believers, and third is agnostics. Who have nothing to do. Let him exist. We have what we have to do. Even if he is there, even if not, it doesn't matter. So these are the groups. So we might be different devotees at different point. Not every time we were staunch. So we must have done Kashi Kalvat. Om Shanti.